B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. 5 o'clock hour brought to us by Guy Door and Window. You can take advantage of Guy Door and Window's big summer sales event. You'll get 40% off all windows and doors. Call Guy Door and Window today. The number's 1-877-GO-GUIDA. Or visit GUIDA.com. We're talking about baseball. We're talking about the return of baseball. We're talking about people aren't jazzed up about the return of baseball. We're talking about the death of baseball. Because kids don't play it anymore. And we're also trying to field a starting opening day lineup for it's only the contenders in the Phil's division. So people are asking us why aren't we doing the Marlins. Because the Marlins are contenders. So the Nats are obviously defending champs. The Braves won a division last year. And the Mets, I believe, are just a tad ahead of the Phillies. So we're coming up with an all-time team. The Phillies so far might have the best all-around team on opening day, if we go back in time.
Yes, but very inverted in baseball lore. They're an infield-heavy team.
They are.
And historically, you know, the center fielder, the outfielders are the glamour position. The Phillies are an infield team.
Yes.
In a big way. You know what I mean?
Like they are. So you're saying the other teams may catch up.
No, I think the Phillies might already be too far ahead. And the Phillies have had great pitching, too. Mm-hmm. Phillies have had great, great pitchers, just not at the same time.
Okay.
Except for one small error. You know what I mean? They've had all-time pitchers.
Yeah.
The Phillies have.
All right, let's do one more before we get back to the phones, because now we have to go through the outfield.
Which one are you going to start with?
So let's start with right field. So the Phillies boast Bobby Abreu as the right fielder. The Nationals Chuck Klein? He's a left fielder, I think, wasn't he? Was he a right fielder?
According to this, now again, I don't know nothing of a
Chuck Klein's too.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
That's too far back.
But you're going back to the 20s.
Yeah,
and 30s.
It's too far back. We have no idea.
All right.
So we'll give Abreu the slot. The Nationals Expos. Oh, they got Vladdy playing right field. Vladdy Donnie.
Yeah. I mean, if you include the Expos,
you have to.
Yeah.
The Braves. David Justice.
He's the best one.
As a right fielder. Now, we're doing this by position. We're not commingling positions. Right.
Oh, no.
What? Who you got in right field?
Wait, what did Hank Aaron play?
Hank played left. Did he play left or right?
They got him here.
They have him playing right?
They got him listed as a right field.
Okay, well, then that takes care of... that moves Justice out of there, then.
Yeah.
All right, they have Justice Hank is in right field.
This particular article from MLB.com, it was actually written in May. They ranked the Braves, for some reason, randomly, their top five right fielders, and they go Aaron, then Justice, then...
Yeah, I just saw Hank play primarily in left field. I'm probably mistaken. So we'll give Hank the slot.
So that's an easy one
in right field, right, of course. That wins that.
Yeah.
But the Mets come up with Darryl Strawberry.
Yeah, so the Phillies will come in last. Well, here's the weird part. There are now a bunch of people who think Abreu should be in the Hall of Fame.
I know. There are some Abreu numbers, guys.
Right, so if Abreu gets in the Hall of Fame, he has to be above Strawberry because Strawberry won't get in.
Yeah.
But I think he's third as well. I agree with you. I think Strawberry was a great player. Abreu was never a great player.
All right, so the Braves get their first point on the board.
Yeah.
Here. All right, so the Mets have a point. The Braves have a point. The Phils have 4 points.
Man, they're uncatchable.
We'll see, because we got the Mets pitching staff to come our way.
That's a good point.
All right, let's go to Jeff in Hamilton. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Yeah, so I know it's popular lately to pick on Rob Manfred, but I'm going to defend him here.
Okay.
And here's why. He's in an 0-win situation when it comes to the protocols and all, because anything he puts out, the poor, we all know how poor and beleaguered the players union is, they're going to say it's unsafe. But here's the alternative. So my son plays in a summer college league. It's got Power 5 kids down to D3 kids, right? And their protocols just came out. So here's some of the highlights, just because this is what Bamford would have to do to keep them safe. First of all, this is a T-ball game. This is college baseball. The umpires are going to stand behind the mound to call balls and strikes. This is definitely going to happen. When they're in the dugout, they can have three people plus a coach. The rest of them have to be socially distanced down the foul line. That's another one. Then they have, when they arrive to the game, they have to park in alternate spaces and put their stuff down between, the home team goes between 15 minutes and 30 minutes, and then the visiting team 0 to 15 before the game. The list goes on and on like this to keep it safe, to cover their butt kind of thing.
This is AAU, what, this is summer league rule protocol?
This is the Atlantic Collegiate Baseball League, yes.
Okay, all right.
Major summer college league.
Okay.
And this is their protocol that's going to start happening in July.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this isn't T-ball. So what's Manfred supposed to do to make the major leaguers safe and not make it ridiculous with a, you know, umpire, one ump calling the balls and strikes from behind the mound?
Well, listen, it goes more than that. I mean, this whole negotiation, he didn't show really any leadership. He was a pawn when he could have been a little stronger.
No, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the protocol part, because we're still in the dark about what's the right protocol. The way these things dragged out did not show a very strong leader.
No, I know. I'm just talking about the safety. Yeah, they're going to start playing. You're like, whoa, what are the rules? I don't know what he's supposed to say. He's going to get criticized.
No, I don't think we're criticizing him for the protocol, because, you know, everybody's kind of at their own mercy here. You can't put one protocol, because they're not in a bubble. So it's going to be up to these teams to figure it out.
Well, I know, but they're going to have rules for the actual game to keep them safe. I mean, this is kind
of... There's no way they're going to have umpires behind the pitchers, man.
No, I know. But that, anything they're going to say, it's, I don't know how they're going to do it unless they just say play. And then the players union is going to file a grievance and say, oh, it's not safe. So that's why I said he can't win. That's all.
All right. I got you.
All right.
That's not going to happen where the umpire stays behind the mound. That'll be a disaster.
Yeah, he can't. I mean,
no.
He can't.
There's a lot of things you can do. You can't socially distance in some areas of a baseball game.
Right. That you have to sign up for some of that risk.
Yes. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
What's up, gang?
What's going on, Dave?
Hey, before I get down to business, everything else is watered down. Are we going to have a watered down version of FanFest, or that's just not happening?
No, we wouldn't have a watered down version of it. It's either in or not.
Okay.
And it's not looking, frankly, it's a summer event, and we're running out of summer to have it. So I don't know what the status of it is.
Gotcha. You know, 1994, the baseball season comes to an abrupt end, maybe 110 games into the season. So many good things were on the table. Montreal Expos, beleaguered franchise, were probably going to win the World Series. Tony Gwynn probably was going to hit .403. Jeff Bagwell was on pace to equal Hank Wilson's RBI record. And believe it or not, Matt Williams was going to finish with 62 homers, breaking Roger Maris's record. And all of that was just poof, up in smoke.
Mm-hmm.
That bothers me. It bothered me.
Well, I'm not a numbers guy, so I don't give up and stuff like that. When baseball abruptly stopped, it was weird because we hadn't seen anything like that. But you know, I got used to it. I even tried out for a replacement team. that must benefited me.
Yeah, did you really? I knew.
Sure. I flew down to Clearwater. I was in that pack of hopefuls.
Did you get into one of the exhibition games?
No. Okay. I didn't get selected for the final roster. The whole thing was a shame. They didn't really select anybody from the people they had at tryouts. They had other guys ticketed that had professional experience that they were going to put on that team.
Well, our buddy Jeff Stone was a scab. He broke the ticket line. Yes. Mikey Miss, your hitting streak is at 28. You're halfway to Joe DiMaggio.
Yes.
You're closing in on Chase Utley's 35 and Jimmy Rollins 38. Here we go.
All right.
This gentleman's pale skinned, shaggy haircut parted to the side. Denver Nuggets scoring machine, Kiki Vandeweghe.
I think you gave me Kiki before. I see Silly.
No, I didn't.
All right,
okay.
UCLA.
This gentleman was the original point forward, Milwaukee Bucks swingman.
Paul Pressey?
Yes.
Paul Pressey, I believe, I'm going to stun you here. I believe that Paul Pressey went to Tulsa.
You're going to break DiMaggio.
Am I right? Paul Pressey, Tulsa? Ah!
Yeah.
See, if I get Paul Pressey, you can't stop me, bro.
I love you, guys.
All right, man. See you later. That's 30 in a row. Paul Pressey.
Yeah, participated in the 86 slam dunk contest. Yeah, he went to Western Texas and transferred to Tulsa, where he ended up being a first-round pick.
Uh-huh.
Tulsa hasn't had many first-round picks.
Yeah, he had two kids that played at Missouri, and they were both point guard. They were small guards. Paul Pressey had size. It's rare that you see a spawn being a lot shorter than dad.
Yeah, a lot shorter is rare. His daughter, yeah, you're absolutely right. Jeremiah and Paul Jr.
Yeah, they were both guards, right?
And there was a third one.
There was?
No, Jeremiah and Phil. No, Jeremiah, but he was Paul Jr., but they called him Jeremiah for whatever reason. Yeah, they played for Missouri. His daughter was a big volleyball player. They made the Final Four in volleyball when she was at Cal.
Well, there
you go. That's good genes from Paul.
Well, you know, we were talking about Delino DeShields the other day.
His daughter's
in the WNBA.
Oh, yeah. I did know that.
Yeah, his son's playing Major League Baseball. His daughter's in WNBA. See, that's a pretty good job.
Raleigh's somewhere mad about that. Heaven looking down like, I could have had this kid. Look at the jeans.
Let's go to Tom in the Northeast. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Tom?
Before I get to my baseball point, did I hear you correctly earlier saying that Pence was 100-1?
Yes.
That's not a bad bet. I'll tell you why. Not only do you have some health concerns with Trump, but I've heard that...
No, this is in the election.
I'm
so
talking
it's not,
about that.
You're saying he would take over and then win an election.
Yeah. In other words, at 100-1.
That's actually pretty good. That's worth a shot, I guess, to throw 100 on that 100-1.
It is because there's also a rumor that if this double-digit lead continues that Biden has now, and Trump thinks he's going to lose, he's not even going to run.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I think despite the fact that he couldn't walk down that incline, I think his health will be all right.
Nah, you're right. I think the other one is more likely, though.
That's actually a good bet, man. Look at you. You're looking ahead.
I am. That's
a good betting philosophy there. Examination.
Sixes at 30
analysis.
I'll put the Pence at 100-1. Two notes down the drain.
All right. Yeah.
Anyway, baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who called earlier and talked about it being dying game and stuff, it's so ridiculous. I mean, then he was talking about attendance. I mean, they're at 28,000 plus per game over the last 4 years, just off their all-time high of 30,000 per game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the golden age, teams were lucky to draw a million a year. Now everybody draws.
Because baseball, here's the thing that people forget. Baseball, the ticket price is not like it used to be, but it's still more affordable than any other sport. So you can actually take your family out there.
That's right. And when Roger Maris hit home run number 61, there were 16,000 people in the stadium. And that was in the 60s. And the 70s was the same situation. And there was all kinds of kids playing satellite ball.
Are you serious? There were only 16,000 people when Roger Maris hit 61?
Under 20,000.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. That's an underplayed fact. All right. I'll check it out.
Check it out.
All right. You got it, Tom. Now, listen, I'm thinking of... you know, this first pick, this is like a shoebox pick. Shoebox a bet on the first pick of the NHL draft. This guy so far, there's no way he can't be a number one pick. He's 1-5. So if I throw 1,000 on that, that gives me a return of what? 200?
Yeah.
At 1-5?
Yeah.
That's totally worth it. You think?
I think so.
Alexis Lafreniere.
I'm looking forward to that. I like that name. I hope he's a good player. Because I would like to hear people say when he shoots and scores. I like that name.
You ready? There's like two Italian names in the hopper.
Oh, look at this.
Marco Rossi. It was 12-1.
Okay.
And then Cole Perfetti. At 20-1.
What position does it say?
I have no idea who these people are.
No, I was wondering if, like, I need all these guys to be goal scorers.
An Italian-Canadian, I assume.
Yeah. I just checked his thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a big crowd, but it was 23,000.
23,000.
But that's nothing.
See, the game went, wow, they didn't even like him. Like, they didn't want him to break the record. So, like, hometown fans are rooting against him.
Yeah, but Mantle hit a bunch that year,
too.
They
love Mantle.
Last game of the year. And they say that, some of the Yankees within the organization didn't love it. Like, Maris was the wrong guy.
Yeah, because Babe Ruth was they didn't want him to break Babe Ruth's record. Now, I don't know, were they a contender? The Yankees in 61? Because Mantle hit like 50 plus.
Yeah, I got it.
I don't know if they were a contender. Maybe that's why they didn't come out.
Yeah, because he hit 54.
But you would think that, but they just didn't warm up to Maris. If it was Mantle, it probably would have been a full house.
But it does show something, though. Usually on the last game, fans show up no matter what.
Yeah, but Maris was the Mike Schmidt of the Yankees. Mm. He was, he didn't want anything to do with the press. He was snarky and, he just wanted to be left alone. He was the South Dakota dude.
Oh. They went 109-53.
That year?
And won the World Series in 5.
Oh, they
over
won the World Series.
That
doesn't make any sense. Yeah, some old school Yankee fan has to explain that to me.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all. I had no idea that they didn't have a crowd there. All right, 610-620-975. A couple lines are open, and we'll take calls. No sound off today. So let's go back now to the starting lineups on opening day of all-time teams. So we have the Braves and the Mets have won the last two. They won the catching position, and Mets won. The Braves won the right field position. We go to center field. So we go now with the Phillies boasting... I guess we got to go to that Gary Maddox as the all-time center fielder, right?
Yeah, it's
who else is in there? Who am I missing? That would be a contender against Maddox.
They got Victorino listed here.
Yeah, he's not Maddox.
And Dykstra.
Yeah, but
Dykstra.
But Maddox was a longer time contributor than Dykstra.
I got you.
All right, so we're going to go Gary Maddox at center. For the Mets.
Be surprised.
You would go with Carlos Beltran.
Yep.
All right.
He's ahead of Mookie Wilson.
Yes. For the Nationals / Expos. Uh-oh. Andre the Hawk Dawson.
Yeah.
And for the Braves, Dale Murphy.
The Hawk.
Who wins that one? The Hawk?
I think the Hawk wins.
So the Nats get their first point on the board.
Yeah. I think the Hawk wins. I mean,
the Hawk over Dale Murphy?
Well, neither one of them are in the Hall of Fame, right? And Beltran, they thought was going to get in, but now with this cheating.
Yeah, but let's not take the cheating into consideration. He didn't have a long career with the Mets. He's there. So for that reason, he wouldn't win. So it's between.
How many years he was there?
Dale Murphy had over 400 home runs. Did Dawson have that many? Dale Murphy, 400 home runs as a Brave. It's tough to beat.
Yeah, all right.
Dawson had a lot of years with the Cubs, too.
He did.
So I don't know what his home run total would be with Montreal.
Because his overall was 438. Murphy, he led the league 1 year with the Cubs, so.
Dale Murphy had 398 home runs, and he hit all but 27. With the Braves.
All right. I can go with him.
All right. Dale Murphy actually had 18 home runs in 91 for the Phils. 18 home runs, 81 RBIs. What a bad year.
No.
Play 153 games. So. All right, so a point to the Nats. And one more as we go to the Braves.
Well, you gave it to the Braves.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, the Braves. So no point for the Nats. Two for the Braves. The Braves have 2 points. The Phils have 4. As we go to right field. Oh, excuse me, left field. For the Phillies, it's either Luzinski or Burrell. You decide.
Oh, wait a minute. Dawson is in the Hall of Fame. I forgot. He did get in. He did get in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Jason's listening. He texted.
All right, so Jason, he's in the Hall of Fame. But Jason, is his body of work with the Expos? See, that's the key.
Yeah, the
body work. Murphy's body work with the Braves is lengthier than Andre Dawson's career with the Expos. I'm thinking.
Yes, I have the left field. I have Burrell.
You got Burrell over Luzinski?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking at how Burrell's. Yeah, unless you want to go back to the teens or Dale Ennis.
You can go Dale Ennis.
You can go Ennis?
Yeah, how many home runs Dell Ennis have?
259.
But what did Burrell have?
He hit Burrellhead with the Phillies. I got 251. So Ennis had more by a few.
I have no familiarity with Ennis at all. But it's not going to matter.
Luzinski, though, finished second in NL MVP, and Burrell was never that high. I think I got to switch to the Bull.
You going to go to the Bull?
Yeah, I got to go to the Bull.
All right, we'll go to the Bull.
Yeah.
For the Nets, I mean, Soto is pretty good. Like, he's not going to win, but he's the best.
Yeah, he's just a child.
Yeah, he's a child. And then we go to the Braves, since we got Hank in right, Murphy in center. Who plays left?
On
the Braves.
On the Nats, they're saying put Bryce there, but I don't think he...
Bryce Harper's a right fielder. Would he play left field for the Nats?
Not enough, but you know what? You have to go back to the Expos, and they're saying you got to put... then it would be Tim Raines.
Oh, okay.
He's their left fielder.
Yeah, Tim Raines is tough to beat.
And you got Moises Alou, who also played well in that spot.
Yeah, Raines got in the Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's Tim Raines.
The Nats may have a point there, because I don't have a left fielder for the Braves, because we can't move a center fielder over to left field. So
no, you said you didn't want to do that.
Right. So who played? Did Justice ever play left field?
I'm looking
for
it
the
up
Braves
right now. Oh, this article has Rico Cardi.
Rico Cardi. That's old school.
They have
Ron Gant.
Ron Gant's on the list. Ryan Klesko, who was my first little favorite.
Yeah, Ryan Klesko.
I think you got to go.
Dusty Baker had a lot of good years there as a left fielder.
Yeah, he didn't make it on this list. So,
Ralph Gaar. I got to go Ralph Gaar. Old school Ralph Gaar. Late 60s, early 70s. Ralph Gaar.
Yeah, he was... He was an honorable mention for them.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, they're going with Rico Cardi.
All right, Rico Cardi.
Because of his great
defense.
That's
like at 60s, Rico Cardi.
Yeah, he played from 63 to 72 for them.
I think...
Batted 366
I was a kid, I barely remember this, but I remember that he was went head-to-head with Dick Allen for the Rookie of the Year.
Oh.
That year. I don't know. I think he won it. Jason, did he win Rookie of the Year over Dick Allen that year? Jason's listening to us. I think Rico Cardi might have been Rookie of the Year. All right, anyway, for the Mets, left field, it's old school Cleon Jones, new school Kevin McReynolds.
Huh.
So in any event, the Nats win. So the Nats get a point with Raines.
And now you got to go to pitching.
So now we go pitching, and we'll see what happens. If the Phillies can hold on, they lead 4-2 right now. Mike Mussinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's 5:30, and it's time for the final Twitter poll numbers on baseball restarting. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, check out Paul B. Moyer & Sons because they have it all. And they're so reliable. They know the product inside and out. They'll put you into the right piece of equipment. Order online. PaulBMoyer.com, or give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Aganoff, final numbers.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, over 900 votes, sorry. How do you feel about baseball being back? 34% say happy, 35% say meh, 29% say they don't care at all, and 2% are mad. So meh wins with 35%.
Meh wins, and that's not good. When meh wins.
Yeah.
No good.
It's not good to be mad about anything.
We'll warm up. Games get on TV, we get the announcers back, we'll see the games, we'll see the result. And if they get off to a good start, this town will be in. All right, so one omission. I knew I was making a bad omission for the Phillies. Richie Ashburn, center fielder. But he would lose to Murphy anyway.
Well, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah, I think that's a point back to the Phillies.
You think the Phillies get the point there?
Yeah. Hall of Famer.
Murphy had 400 home runs.
Well, not quite 400 home runs. A little short.
All right, what was Ashburn's career average?
I'll find it.
He's probably a 300 hitter, but he was like a Punch and Judy hitter.
A lot of center fielders are. And there are also got people saying that he played a decent amount in the corners, not always in center.
Who did? Ashburn?
No.
Who? Murphy?
That's what people are saying on social media.
Yeah, because Andrew Jones became their center fielder after a while. But Murphy started as a center fielder.
Batted a .308 for his career.
Ashburn did?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on base
off almost 400.
He's a good hitter.
400 almost, 2,500 hits. Didn't hit for power. Did not hit for power.
No, he did not. He was a slap hitter.
Yeah, a couple hundred. Never struck out, but I mean, no one did in that era. But I mean, he never fouled balls off.
He fouled like 18 balls off once.
His career high was 50.
I never really saw as Richie Ashburn, so I'm out.
That's what was hard for me.
Yeah.
Because going from 48 to 62, for me, it's just. But I mean, he is in the Hall of Fame.
But here's what I do remember now, because Dick Allen did win rookie of the year, and I can't believe I didn't remember that, because Little Mikey Miss was all about Richie Allen. And it was a three-way race, is what I remember, for the Rookie of the Year. This has got to be Jason approved. Jason's listening to us. So it was Rico Cardi, Richie Allen. Are you ready for this bust-out name?
Yeah.
The San Francisco Giants, Jim Ray Hart.
Jim Ray Hart.
Jim Ray Hart. A three-horse race for Rookie of the Year. And I didn't remember that Allen actually won it. So that's my bad.
I'm going to look up the, I'll find it.
Jim Ray Hart. Third baseman, I think.
Now, somebody also saying, though, that Murphy. Yep. So, 18 points, Dick Allen. 1 point, Rico Cardi. And 1 point, Jimmy Ray Hart from the San Francisco
Jim Ray Hart. Yes, sir. Ray Hart.
Now, Del Murphy, did he have the back-to-back MVPs? Was he MVP?
I don't remember.
If he's a two-time MVP, he has to go back in the lead. Did he win?
Well, for the purposes of, like, because now we can't really break it down that much more. We have to judge the pitching staffs on a whole, right? So the Phillies are going to win this anyway. The Phillies have 4 points on the board. That's probably enough to win.
Yeah.
Because you only have two components left, starting pitching and a relief pitcher. So I went four starters, one relief pitcher per team.
Yeah.
So here we go with the Phillies. Halliday, Schilling, Hamels, Robin Roberts are your four starters.
No. Say it again.
Halliday, Schilling, Hamels, Roberts. is the Phillies' best starting rotation? And where am I? Who am I missing?
Lefty.
Hamels.
No.
What?
Carlton.
Oh, I forgot Carlton. What the hell's wrong with me?
I know you know.
What is wrong with me?
Carlton.
Jesus.
That's what I'm saying. He's arguably the best.
I can't believe I forgot Steve Carlton. All right, Steve Carlton. Well, does that take Halliday out? You got to go Hamels over Halliday for the length of service?
Yeah, that's the tough part. He was great, but for how long?
Well, I don't know who you would take out. Like, we can use the best. We use the best. Let's use the best. So Halliday was one of the best since when he was here.
Yeah.
But who do you take out? Because you got Schilling, Hamels, and Roberts. Do you take Hamels out?
I kind of have to.
Hamels has got to be out.
Because the other guys are Hall of Fame level guys. I don't know if Cole is.
I forgot Steve Carlton.
Even though, obviously, he was World Series MVP.
I'm an idiot. All right, so the best relief pitcher we throw in there.
Is it Lidge for being perfect in a World Series year? Or do you have to put Stick and Papelbon in there?
I wrote Papelbon down.
Ah! Ruining my day. Like, I can't stand
him.
He's
the all-time saves leader, right?
I know, but fine.
All right, listen, I'm not comfortable with it either.
But he's also the Nationals guy, too.
Yeah, I put it with the Nationals.
All right.
The Nationals go as followed. Nationals Expos.
Mm-hmm.
Scherzer, Strasburg, get on it.
Yeah.
Pedro Martinez. With his Expo days, Steve Rogers back in the day, and their relief pitcher is guy that had a full beard, Jeff Reardon.
I remember hearing about a Reardon.
Jeff Reardon was there for a long time and very effective. All right, now
Phillies ahead of them.
Phillies ahead of them.
Yeah.
All right, now let's go to the Mets.
They got some pitchers:
Seaver, Gooden, Kuzman, DeGrom. Relief pitcher, John Franco.
I actually think the Phillies beat them, too.
You think the Phillies beat that?
We'll match it up one by one. The Phillies ace, opening day starter in this scenario would be Carlton.
Yeah.
Now, who does the Mets match
up? Seaver. Yeah, they match up completely with
him. Okay, so then number two, Halliday and
Gooden.
Holiday advantage, Holiday.
Well, I don't know about that.
Gooden was great, but then he flamed out, and then
I don't know about that, Holmes. I don't know about that. That might be an even. Gooden was amazing.
Go even.
All right, now it's Schilling and Kuzman. Also top. Well, no, Robin Roberts, Kuzman, and Schilling DeGrom. I don't know, man.
And
that has to be a Jason call.
And would you put Nolan Ryan in that mix? He was with the Mets.
He wasn't there that long, though, so I would not put him in there.
Now, looking at it, man, Doc with the Mets from age 19, threw too many innings, from 19
till
his arm went out when he had the drug problem, 2.6, 1.5, 3, 2.84, 3.2, 3.1.
He's, at best, better than Halliday. If you're going to give Halliday, like, it's even at worst.
Yeah, I think they let him throw 276 innings at age 20.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Yeah. And finally, we get to the Braves. Oh, no. Well, Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz, Phil Niekro.
Yeah. And their reliever.
And their reliever is Gene Garber. Or Mark Wallers. I think Garber was there a little longer. I don't know how to call this one. Let the people call it. Yeah. Look at the last break.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Tonight. 97.5, The Fanatic.
The day, and we're coming back after this. 5:46, Mike Mussinelli Show. You always hear a lot of disagreement, a lot of people throwing in names like Randy Johnson should be on the Expo staff. He only pitched there 2 years, very briefly, and wasn't that good. He didn't find his stride until he left the Expos. And a lot of people are saying Andrew Jones over Murphy. It's close, but Murphy's got more home runs.
No.
Yeah, he does. That's
no.
Brave.
No. That's a Brave. Yeah. Okay. Because Andrew Jones, yeah. I think, had 10 gold gloves, too, in center.
Murphy had more home runs as a Brave than Andrew Jones did.
Okay.
But Andrew Jones hit like maybe 100 more after he left the Braves.
Okay. Possible. Yeah, because he hit 400 and something. I don't think he quite got to 500, though.
Yeah, I mean, you could say Andrew Jones, but it's not going to... who won that? Dawson? Oh, we gave that to Murphy, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you replace it with Jones, then Jones would then win.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Tasty Cake Dom checking in. What's up, Tasty Cake Dom?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Hi, Matt. This was a great show. I enjoy. Mike, I'm a baseball guy. I miss baseball terrible. I can't wait for it to get back.
Yeah, I hope you feel the same way once you see the product in a hollow shell of a ballpark.
Yeah, I hope I feel the same way too.
Yeah.
But, I thought you and Ty listening all afternoon. I thought, those pitching staffs, that's a photo finish, ain't it, Mike?
Pretty good. All those teams can represent on the mound. It's hard for me. I can't even pick one, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And the only other thing that I would ask you and Ty to revisit, I thought you guys got everything right, is to me, Keith Hernandez is a stone cold 300 hitter, Mike. And he's the greatest defensive first baseman in the history of baseball. Mike, I think he won 10 straight gold gloves.
Yeah, he was the Mets guy, definitely.
Yeah, I would go. See, but your criteria is only his work as a Met, right?
Yes. Yeah, so you're
right there, too.
Yeah, he had five gold gloves as a Met. Yeah, Ryan Howard's power numbers were just, I just think, were too much to ignore. So we gave the nod to Howard there.
That's another tough one, though. But, and again, you're going as a Met. If you go with him as a, Mike, I think there was like a 7 year period where he won and when he wins the gold glove, it really doesn't do him. Mike, they could chuck anything over there and he's digging it out.
A gold glove for a first baseman. Yeah. Yeah. it doesn't impress me as much as a gold glove for your other infield positions.
Yeah, but if you're on that left side and you could just,
he's a great player. I like Keith Hernandez. But, the gold glove, first base gold glover, is that necessary in baseball? It helps, but it's not necessary.
He hit 62 home runs with the Mets.
That's all?
That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, he won a big home run. With the Cardinals, he had a big home run year once, didn't he?
No.
He hit more home runs with the Cardinals, though, didn't he?
His high was only 16.
Really?
Yeah, high with the Mets was 18.
Didn't he hit 350 something with the Cardinals? Didn't he have a big year average-wise?
344.
Yeah.
That was the MVP year.
Okay.
With the Cardinals, was just with them. Yeah, so 62. Howard hit 58 in 1 year.
Yeah, the power numbers were too much to ignore. Pat in Houston. Pat, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I can't believe that we actually lost the offseason again, football season. Our first round selection is actually really a second round draft choice. Our second round draft choice is actually a fourth or fifth round draft choice. We just lost our all pro guard. We have done nothing with Jadeveon Clowney. What is this team doing? What are they doing to get back?
Oh my, this guy, a latent disgruntled Eagle reaction from Houston. What made you think of that today, Pat?
I was born and raised there. I spent 40 years.
I get it, but why today did you think about the Eagles?
Oh, I've been thinking. I mean, I am so upset ever since the draft. I said, I just couldn't believe it. Just couldn't believe it, especially being so close to Oklahoma. I said, we're going to get this guy. I mean, I was shocked about that.
Are you talking about CeeDee Lamb?
Oh, my God. I said, we're in.
Well, I would have actually done that, too. We talked about that, but that's like spilled milk now. You know, it is what he is. The Eagles aren't a bad football team. They can still win their division with this team.
And by the way, most of your listeners probably won't even know what I say, but my team is the A's. People say, well, wow, you're born and raised in Philly. Why was your team the A's? I said, I went to Shy Park to watch the A's. I said,
oh, you're an old timer. You went to Connie Mack era. With
Connie
the
Mack, I went
with Philadelphia A's.
That's right. I went approximately 100 games at Shy Park. Connie Mack Stadium, I went there about maybe three or four times. We used to climb over the fence at Shy Park.
Well, look at that. How about that? An A's fan way back in the day. Let's go Rich in Indiana, from Houston to Indiana. Go ahead, Rich.
Two guys you left out. One I don't think is going to matter. It was David Cone, but I don't think he cracks the Mets squad.
No, he does not.
But for the Braves, you forgot Warren Spahn.
I guess I could put Warren Spahn over Phil Niekro.
Oh, look at his stats. He was a Hall of Famer. He won 20 games, I think.
Yeah, how many games did Niekro win? Niekro won a lot of games, though.
I don't remember. I was just thinking.
I can be convinced to put Spahn over Niekro.
Yeah, I mean, he was good.
Yeah. What was the old saying of Tim McCarver? I'll do it in Tim McCarver voice. Well, Joe, they used to say Spahn insane and 3 days of rain.
Yeah, Spahn insane, and I think it was pray for rain.
Oh, pray for rain, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
The other thing is, for baseball, the quintessential thing about baseball is it's slow. It makes it nice. You sit there, you relax, you watch. You don't have to pay that much attention.
You can go in the kitchen and make some pasta vazul as the game's on in the background.
Yeah, no, that's what I think. And I think the reason the games are long now is because they got 8,000 commercials between innings, and God forbid they make two pitching changes. You could take a shower.
Years ago,
it took a minute.
I'm all right with that. I know a lot of people aren't. You know, jazz up the game or put a time clock on. It's timeless. It's Americana. Americana's timeless.
Keep fighting good fight, man.
It's like watching the sunset.
This dude, Spahn was something, man.
Spahn?
Yeah. No, about to wrap the show, but this guy was winning. He won 20 straight games from age 36 to 40.
Yeah, he was a junk ball left-hander.
His highest ERA during that time was 3.07.
Yeah, he's
unbelievable.
Niekro's out, Spahn's in. So it's Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz, Spahn, but I don't think they win anyway. All right, this is a fun show. Thanks, everybody, for contributing. Stay tuned for Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic and on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Who wore it best? The best players at each number. And then the that's the NHL who wore it best. And then the Flyers Knights from last October. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.